Have you ever been in a position where you needed a second chance? Yeah, maybe there was something that you tried. Maybe there was something that that went on, or something that you didn't do very well, and maybe even somebody was giving up hope on you. And you're like, oh, just yeah, please give me a second chance. Like, give me another try at this. Well, if you've ever been on the receiving end of that and had the opportunity to get a second chance and to do a whole lot better or succeed in what it was, then that made you feel really, really good. But you've also maybe been in a situation like that where somebody refused to give you that second chance. I'm here today to tell you that God is a God of second chance, and that's what we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. If not, grab that Bible and come on back and join us tonight as we look at the second time out of the book of Jonah, chapter 3. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're just tickled to death that you're joining us this evening. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that that come out of the book of Jonah, chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Jonah, chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at the passages called A Second Time. Now, we've been looking at our passages in the book of Jonah, and just kind of getting a feel for what's been taking place. We know that this was a great city. This is a place that that God wanted to save. This was a place that God called his servant to go and to preach to. We know that leading up into these particular passages that Jonah did not follow what God told him to do. Lord told him to go to Nineveh. Instead, he goes down and gets on a boat heading to Tarshish, which was exactly the opposite way. Then we realize that the storm that came up, Jonah actually, winds up having to be tossed overboard. He's swallowed by a great fish, and then he's spit out on the ground again. And this is where we get to the point where we see Jonah actually getting a second chance, getting another try at doing what it was that God had asked him to do. So we're going to pick up our Bible study today in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. So if you've got that, look with me, Jonah, chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.'" Verse 3, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?' Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you right now, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your leadership, for your guidance. Lord, we just pray right now that as we take this time to gather around your word, that you will speak to our hearts in ways that that will be meaningful to us in our lives. We know that you will. We know that you've got that message for us. Lord, I pray that you would truly give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, that we may make application on a personal level of our own life. So, Father, bless our time that we will spend together today in your word. Lead this, your speaker at these moments, that you would be high and lifted up and draw all men unto you. And give us, Father, courage to make changes where changes need to be made. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we begin to look at these passages for today, we mentioned a little bit about what was taking place in the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a place that had gotten God's attention. It was a place of wickedness, and essentially God had put them on a clock. You know, there was this countdown to destruction, and you know, God just doesn't arbitrarily do something. You know, he said, Jonah, you're going to go in there. You're going to tell my people that they have 40 days and 40 nights to turn from their wicked ways, lest destruction fall upon them. So you have to realize the position that Nineveh's in. They're 6 weeks away from destruction. That's basically around your 40 days and 40 nights. You have to also realize that Nineveh was a city of around 600,000 people. I mean, it was a prominent city. For those that live in the Greensboro area, I looked at the population, and the whole city of Greensboro's population would be half of what Nineveh's was. So that gives you an idea of the size of the city that we're talking about there. So this is not like a small place. And God tells Jonah, you know, I call him the reluctant prophet, you know, the one who was called by God, the one that was chosen by God to be the spokesperson for him in the city of Nineveh, who basically says, I don't want to do that. I'm going the other direction. So he flees from God's calling. We know that. Yeah, the chapters prior to this tell us that he was swallowed by the great fish. And essentially what happens is, you know, as he's wondering what things are going to be like, you know, as he cries out to God from the belly of a fish, you know, the end, the latter part of chapter 2, it says, particularly chapter 2, verse 10 says this. It says, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. You know, in other words, he's up there on the sea after 3 days in the belly of a great fish, yet now he's out. I always call it foxhole religion. You've heard that expression before. Many people say, well, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, when the bullets are flying all around you, you don't know whether you're going to make it through. You don't know what's going to take place. And sometimes people make a lot of promises to God that they don't keep. You've probably been in that situation somewhere along life's way as well. Maybe there was a situation where you told God, well, Lord, if you get me through this, then I'll never miss church again, or I'll teach that Sunday school class, or I'll, you know, do my Bible study every day, or I'll pray more, or a myriad of other things that maybe you've said along the way, only to find yourself a few weeks down the road not doing what you promised God that you were going to do. So I imagine that Jonah may have had a little bit of foxhole religion, as it were, but I think there was something to it because of what we find out. So now he's not sure whether he's going to die in the belly of a great fish, and then he is vomited out onto dry ground. Imagine what was going through his mind at that particular point. Now, here's one of the things I want you to get in regard to the third chapter of the book of Jonah. Yeah, as we go forward, when we look at chapter 3, which is the chapter that we're discussing today, chapter 3, verse 1 says something very, very important. It says this. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that I will tell you. This is verbatim what it was that God asked him to do on the initial calling. Now, God said that to him before, and he was like, okay, goes the wrong way, winds up getting a ride back to where he's supposed to be. Now that God has Jonah's attention, he says to him the exact same thing that he said to him to start with. Get up, get to Nineveh. I've got a project for you to do. I've got a mission for you to be on. God didn't sit back and say, well, you know, I know you have some issues with the people of Nineveh. No, he didn't say that. You know, he didn't sit back and say, well, you poor thing, you've been through a lot. I'll get somebody else. No, no, no. God doesn't make mistakes. When he has called you to do the project that he has called you to do, there is nobody else who can do it any better than you. There is nobody that is more equipped to do that than you. And God will equip those whom he's called. Now, there were some things that Jonah needed to learn himself. You know, remember we said this is an overriding fact when we look at this position. God called Jonah to go to a people that Jonah did not like. Jonah could not stand them. So Jonah had some lessons that he needed to learn as well when it came down to mankind in and of itself. You know, God says we're supposed to love everyone, and Jonah detested the people of Nineveh. So now he's getting something that maybe you and I in our spiritual lives have cried out before at some time in the past. Give me a second chance, okay? Now, that's not what Jonah was saying here, but God is telling Jonah, I am giving you a second chance. I am giving you the same message I gave you before. I am telling you once again, after this little hiatus of disobedience and you going the wrong way, I'm trying to get you back on track. The message is still the same. I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to those people. Now, again, you sit there and you wonder, what must have been going through Jonah's heart. It's interesting what we find in the verses. Look at verse 2. He says, this is what the Lord said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach to it the message that I tell you. He didn't even give Jonah what the message was going to be. I think Jonah knew what the message was going to be based on some things that we'll find out in a later chapter. But verse 3 says this. How did Jonah react to the situation of the Lord giving him a second chance, the Lord telling him once again after he has just been spit up from the belly of a great fish? Verse 3 says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Okay, so now he's getting busy with what God has called him to do. Now, here's the part I love. The latter part of verse 3 says, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey in extent. In other words, from where he was, it was going to take 3 days for him to get to the city. But in verse 4 says, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Now, I don't know if that was because he was excited, afraid, whatever the circumstance may be, but he basically did a 3 day journey in a day. That would almost say that instead of walking, he was either running or doing a pretty fast jog to get there. Now, I don't think that Jonah, according to our scriptures, was excited about the mission that God was going to have him on. In fact, there's an area of frustration that we come about in the next chapter where we see what Jonah actually says to God. But what I want us to get most of all out of today's passages and today's message is this, that God is a God of second chance. The second call came after failure and after chastening. Okay? Yeah, Jonah didn't want to do that. You know, Jonah didn't do that. The Lord had to go after him. The Lord had to get his attention. The Lord had to physically alter his direction to bring him back. But folks, I want you to know that today, if you find yourself amidst failure, or if you are looking back over your life and saying, man, I failed here. I haven't done this right. I haven't done this good. My spiritual walk hadn't been right. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that. I want you to understand today that God is not done with you yet. God is giving you a second chance. You know, there are so many things about Jonah's response to God's call that were completely wrong. Remember what God, we know what God called him to do. It's kind of relegated down into one sentence. But what Jonah's response to that, okay, what was his response? His attitude was all wrong. Yeah, Jonah knew better than that. Jonah knew who God was. Jonah walked with God. His attitude was all wrong. And listen, is your attitude wrong in the circumstances and the situations that you're having to deal with today? Okay. Another thing was that Jonah fled. He went in the opposite direction of the way God told him to go. So he was trying to get away from God. I guess he felt like, well, if I can't, if I don't look this way, then it's not there. If I don't listen or if I don't do it, God's not going to do anything about it. So he fled from the will of God and the direction of God. He knew better than to do that as well. And so do you, folks, because you cannot outrun God. There's no mountain too high. There's no valley too low where you can get away from God, his will, or his voice. You know better than to even try that. So why are you trying it? Yeah, a third thing that we look at when we think about, you know, Jonah's response to God's calling and what was wrong with it was that Jonah was choosing self-will. You know, it's all about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I want to do. It's about the fact that I don't like those people. So because I don't like them, I certainly don't want to go preach God's word and repentance to them. I don't want God to save them. I want God to just throttle them and to do away with them. It isn't. Once again, he knew better than that, and so do you. You know, if you're having a conversation with the Holy Spirit's probably telling you in your circumstances and situations of today, you know better than that. So I want to give you a challenge today. If you find yourself in the midst of a situation such as Jonah, check your attitude. Is your attitude right? You know, secondly, are you running away from God or are you running to him? And third of all, are your decisions being made out of your self-will or are they being made because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life and the leadership of the Holy Spirit as you read God's word? You know, are you checking those off? How are you responding to God and his call in your life today? You see, chastening comes to the wayward child of God. The word tells us those whom he loves, he chastens. He's not going to let you get away with it. He's not going to let up. His endurance is better than yours. There's no place that you can get that's too far away from him. So let me tell you, if God is chastening you, then you simply need to give in to what he's trying to tell you, because you will not have peace in your life until you do. Yeah, he is not going to let you get. He didn't let Jonah get away with it. He is not going to let you get away with it. Okay? Christians can never, ever get away from sin. Now, here's something I want you to know as you contemplate that. Now, I want you to think about that thought for just a minute. Christians can never get away with sin. You will never get away with it. You might think you are, but you're not. So in regard to our text today, in regard to Jonah, that storm that took place was no accident. It wasn't just that he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, the storm was no accident. God sent that accident. The great fish that swallowed him was no accident. I like how the word says. The word says that he prepared a great fish to come and swallow Jonah. That was not by accident. And folks, nothing in your life that is taking place the way it is by accident. Everything that God does is ordered. It is numbered. It has a plan. It has a reason and it has a purpose. But are we understanding that? Okay. As we think about chastening, think about those that we read about in the Word of God. Who were under God's chastening. Think about the times that Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That was the chastening of God. Think about Samson as he was grinding in the prison house. He was blinded and powerless. Think about that. That was sin. God was chastening. But God's grace also reaches those who have failed. Did you hear me? Please hear this more so than the failures. God's grace reaches those who have failed. You see, Samson would later return and regain his strength for one last mission. Think about Peter. Even though he wept because of the three times that he denied Christ, he became essentially the greatest spokesman of the church that ever was. Yeah, and God will meet you where you are. The question is, are you honest with God about where you are at this particular moment? You know, denial will get you in a lot of trouble. So God is giving Jonah a second chance. The second call came with Jonah's old commission. Remember, he's not hearing this for the first time. The second call is evidence of God's wonderful grace in his life. Remember what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. Jonah didn't deserve any of this. And God knew all along Jonah's heart. He knew what Jonah's fears were. He knew what Jonah's anger was. See, Jonah must have thought that it was all over for him. When he was in the belly of a great fish for those 3 days, he must have thought, that's it. I'm just going to be digested. And, you know, I've angered God for the, you know, for the last time, and I'm done for. You know, there's nothing else left for me, you know. But rising there on the beach, think about that for a minute. When that fish spit him out, exhausted and done in at the end of his rope after being in the belly of that fish for so long, the thoughts that must have been going through his heart and through his mind. You know, he must have thought that deliverance was the best that could happen to him at that particular moment in time. Isn't that what we think about when we get in circumstances and situations and we want God to deliver us? We feel like that's the absolute best thing that could happen at that particular moment in time. You know, Jonah possibly doubted that God would ever use him again. Some of you may be in that situation. You think, well, you know, this is what I've done. You know, I know that I've hurt my Savior. I know that God would not want to use somebody like me. Let me tell you, you're wrong. If you are living and breathing, God wants to use you. God has a plan for you, and God has a mission for you. Even if right now you are doubting that God will ever use you again, probably like Jonah was, let me tell you, there's good news for you. God is a God of second chance. You see, but God called Jonah a second time, but he called him the second time with the exact same message that he gave him the first time. I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to my people down there. You see, the God of second chance. Now, I want to point out something. I want to make it very, very clear right now. God is a God of second chance, but we're not talking about salvation in regard to this passage or any New Testament passages. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, then your salvation is etched in stone. Let me say it a better way. It is written in blood. It is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is not an eraser there, and I know that there are people who would argue that position, but I've often gave an earthly example of a great way to explain that. You know, I've often said that I'll ask somebody that may be thinking about if a person could lose their salvation, and I simply ask them this. I say, do you have children? And the majority of them say, well, yes, I have children. And I'll say, if your son or daughter ever comes up to you and says, God forbid, I hate you, I don't ever want to see you ever again, you know, you are no longer my father or mother. I say, does that no longer make them your son or daughter? And obviously the answer to that question is, well, no. And I say, well, why not? You know, why does just their statement not make that true, that they're no longer your child and you're no longer their parent? Why is that not true? And I love the answer I get most often is people say, well, because my DNA runs within them. And I say, you're absolutely right. Why do you think God said that you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven? When you are born again with the DNA of God Almighty. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters here on earth. That's why we call God our Father. So we can have a great earthly comparison between parent and child relationship in the same way we can with a spiritual relationship of being born again. You know, you can't just all of a sudden decide you no longer want the DNA of the Father to run within you, no more than you can all of a sudden arbitrarily decide that you don't want the DNA of one of your parents to run in you. You are created by them with that DNA and with that genetic code. Okay, so we're not talking about salvation. When God came to Jonah, he wasn't giving him a second chance for salvation, but he was giving him a second chance for service. to be able to be used by Him, to be an instrument in His hand. And God's got a purpose for all of us. He has a service position for all of us in some way to be able to use for His honor and for His glory in the hearts and the lives of people that we come in contact with in our sphere of influence. Okay, man, what blessed messages that we get throughout the Word of God. Now, the second call came in spite of the fact that Jonah was going to fail again. And I think that's important for you and I to know as well. Now, I haven't had you read on up into chapter 4. Some of you have read the Word of God before, know what happens in chapter 4. Jonah fails again in chapter 4. Do you think God knew that? Do you think God knew that was going to happen? The answer to that question is absolutely He knew that. Absolutely He knew that that was going to happen and that it was going to take place. And yet God still called him. God still commissioned him. Yeah. Jonah was displeased with the fact, and I'm going to go ahead and get a little bit ahead of the game, but Jonah goes into Nineveh, Jonah preaches repentance, and all of Nineveh repented. Now remember, for those in this area, we're talking about a city twice the size of Greensboro, North Carolina, and every one of them repented. Every one of them. That would be like me having an opportunity to preach a revival in Greensboro, and the whole town surrenders to Jesus Christ. Man, what a great success would be. What a great opportunity for joy it would be. And yet, that happened to Jonah, and he was displeased with the fact that Nineveh repented. Here was a man who was disappointed with his own success. Now, you know what I'm saying. It was success by God's hand, but yet it would be attributed to him. But here was a man who was disappointed being a tremendous, tremendous success. Yeah, here was a preacher who regrets that God ever used him. That is a crazy, from a preacher's perspective, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That'd be like me going and preaching a revival and thousands upon thousands of people coming to know the Lord and me being mad because of that. That's insane. But that's exactly the boat that Jonah was in. Yeah, he regrets that God used him to bring salvation to a people that he detested. Did you get what I said? That he detested. Here's an evangelist who is pouting over a whole city of people who have repented and turned to the Lord. Just something's wrong with that, isn't it? Just doesn't sound right, does it? Okay. What hard hearts we often have. Yeah, is that the position that you're in today? Have you hardened your heart against the voice of God and against the mission of God? Well, even if you have, here's something I want you to know today. God still loves you. God still loves us, and God still has a plan for us. So whatever your past, no matter what's going on, no matter what your present is, whatever's taking place, God will meet you where you are today. And He still does so with some marching orders and a message and a mission for you. See, even if you're to be weak, and even if you're going to fail tomorrow, He is going to meet you where you are today. And He's going to give you just what you need to be able to make it for today. Now, you know, one of the things that I find interesting about these particular passages in chapter 3, you know, as we consider God giving Jonah the second call, the second chance, you know, with the same mission, that's what I wanted us to look at today. Now, next week, I want us to stay in chapter 3. So I want to get you to go back and study chapter 3 once again for next week, because next week, we're going to look once again at chapter 3 at another really important point from the book of Jonah, because next week we're going to discuss the revival in Nineveh that also we read about in chapter 3. So the two big things I wanted you to see out of chapter 3 was that God has given Jonah a second chance, and then next week we're going to discuss the revival that took place in Nineveh. We've already alluded to it a little bit today in light of the fact that God did a great, great thing in the town of, or the city of Nineveh, and Jonah was not happy. He was not happy at all with what had taken place. So I'm also going to ask you to check your heart along the way. You know, is God offering you today a second chance? You know, if he is, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. And I pray that God is going to break you down. I pray that you're going to surrender to his will. I'm going to pray that you will get about his mission and his business. But I'm also going to pray that you do it for all of the right reasons. I pray that you don't have a lesson in your life that you have to learn in the same fashion that Jonah had to learn a lesson in his life. Okay? So that was point number one. Point number two is to come. We're going to look at the revival of Nineveh, Jonah chapter 3, study that, and we'll look forward to seeing you here next week. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, again, I want to thank you that you are a God of second chance. Lord, not only are you a God of second chance, but you are a God who has a mission in mind for each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to be walking so close to you that not only do we see and understand that mission, but that we are truly in a zealous and hasty way going about the mission that you have called us to go about. And Lord, if we fail, for those that have failed, Lord, we're thankful and grateful for second chances. I pray that you will soften the hearts of those whose hearts may be hardened as you prepare them for that second chance. Lord, the mission is the same one that you went to them that they've said no to. The mission's the same. May they truly get busy being about your business. Father, I pray that you'll give us a good week. May we represent you well in every circle of influence that we're in this week. And Lord, draw us close to you as we gather around your word. And Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We want you to join us if you have that opportunity. If you're in this area or if you do not have a church home, we're located at 1715 Highway 68. In Oak Ridge, North Carolina. For those familiar with the area, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Our services begin at 10:45. We would love to have you with us. So God bless you. May he use you in a mighty way this week, and may you hear his word loud and clear and have peace in your heart. We'll see you on Sunday.